It's often said that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. But in the case of Tim Hardaway and his journey into basketball immortality, it might be more accurate to suggest that it all began with two steps. Or more precisely, the UTEP two-step.
Got on my air rays, doing my UTEP two-step.
The killer crossover. Oh, brother.
I'm Spike, and these are my air raid sneakers.
Hardaway, leaving Stockton in the dust.
Let's hear some real trash from Tim Hardaway. Recycle that, baby.
Tim Hardaway, the killer crossover.
That's as good as it gets, Steve. That's as good as it gets.
One of the members of Run TMC.
Run TMC, a legendary team in the Bay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my. Tim Hardaway.
You all think that we couldn't play. A lot of you guys couldn't play in our era.
Put that in your highlight reel, folks. Vintage Tim Hardaway.
I got skill.
I got skills like Tim, and I'm coming in a harder way, so keep the cross in the
Fun police.
Slow down offense at Lincoln High.
This is Unit 21.
Possible board basketball game in progress.
Yo, Unit 10 on the way. We copy that.
It is this all-star appearance from the Miami Heat, Tim Hardaway.
Miami gets it in. Here's Hardaway looking for the shot. Childs does not want to foul. Hardaway fires and hits. Tim Hardaway has won it with a three-point play. Stunning.
This for the south side of Chicago. South side.
What's up? And Hardaway just picked his pocket.
Here's the strip right over here on Michael Jordan. What a game Tim Hardaway is having. He has put on a show in front of his Chicago family here.
This for Chicago all the time. And without them raising me to be who I am today, this would not be possible. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. The shrimp.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Class. Attention, class. Say hello to Professor Hardaway.
Afternoons on the Score.
The pride of Carver, one of the Southside's champions, the Hall of Famer, Tim Hardaway, is here in the house on Spiegel and Holmes, and we could not be happier. Sir, thank you very much for blessing us and coming through and hanging out with talking ball and talking about what you're doing at Diet tomorrow. Diet is down the street from my house, so I love the fact that you guys are putting together something that's perfect for summertime shy to keep kids doing something positive and working with the Safe Summer campaign to do something. What are you guys doing tomorrow over at Diet?
Well, first of all, that's the greatest, greatest introduction I ever had in my life. Thank you very much. That was outstanding.
That's our guy, Chris Tannehill, who takes great care to do so. What jumped out at you in
that? You know, a lot of things jumped out at me. But you know what? A lot of people, I walk through airports and they see me and they say, give me that. Tell me what you say. And I say, what you mean? They say, tell me I got skills. So I get into that more and I'd be like, I got skills. And they'd be like, there it is. I love that. I love that. But you know what? That was a great introduction. And I never had no introduction like that before. You have to send that to me.
Oh,
I like
will.
That. I like that. Yep, yep. But you know, we doing great things at Diet.
It's Walter Diet High School tomorrow.
Yep, tomorrow. But you know, the support group been in existence for 3 decades. And Benny Henry here with me, he came to me one day and said, hey, I want to do something for the kids. I want to open a foundation for the kids and do a lot of stuff for the kids. And I was like, yeah, well, let's do it, you know, because Without what I want to say, centers, without people opening up their doors at the YMCAs and a lot of other places, I wouldn't be here today, you know, keeping me off the streets, keeping me safe, my parents knowing where I'm at, where I'm playing at, what center I'm at, you know. And I tell this story all the time. There's one guy, his name was Dexter. It's in my book. My book is coming out. It's called Crossover, from the streets of Chicago to basketball royalty. And I talk about this all the time. We had a guy named Dexter. He opened up the center on 76 and Phillips every Saturday morning at 6 a.m. And we went in there and played basketball every morning. But the kicker was we had to put up the bingo tables and all that all that type of stuff. So it worked out very well. It takes a village to raise a kid. And I was that kid that a village raised in the city south side of Chicago and helped me make it all the way to the Hall of Fame. But now it's my turn to give back. And I'm giving we are giving back. The support group is giving back to the kids, and we're giving back to families to help them understand. First of all, we here. We've been here for three decades. We've been doing this for a long time. We've been helping families out. We've been helping kids out, go to school, get an education, become people, a society, and make good in what they need to do in a society. With parents, we've been helping parents, you know, get better jobs, you know, get better acquainted with understanding how to take care of their bills, how to get houses, how to become a homeowner, you know, and that's what the support group is all about, giving back. And we want them to come to Diet tomorrow from 10 to 2 and understand exactly what our programs are and what we can do for them to help them to enhance their ability to be better parents, or better students, or better people in this community. And that's what we need. First of all, we need to stop the violence. That's the first thing. We need to stop the violence, all right? We need to make sure that we can put our kids through school and put them in, you know, educational places, and make them understand that we need them for tomorrow. And that's what we do with the support group.
Tim, I love that you're doing this. I love it because, again, like, it's neighborhood stuff for me. Speegs lives in the South Loop, so he's not far from Diet as well. But right there in the Washington Park area, like, there definitely needs to be more opportunities for young people to do cool stuff. And to have you as an ambassador for it, I think is dope. There's so many basketball questions that I want to ask you. And one of them is, in the group chat this week, we were having a conversation about who's the greatest player from Chicago. and we kind of reflexively were like, Zeke, okay? So, like, and so then we kind of went back and forth. I was like, you know what? Mark Aguirre has an argument. Tim Hardaway has an argument.
Go back to Quinn Buckner, no?
I mean, no question.
And then I looked at something. I was like, these stats are kind of killer. Anthony Davis, if you look statistically, has an argument. But I'd love to know, take yourself out of it, who would you say is the greatest hooper from Chicago?
Well, you know, we go back to the greatest hoopers in Chicago that never made it. You know, Mundane. You know, Billy Harris. You know, and it's a whole bunch of people that, you know, a lot of people who have, you know, just talk about, just name names. And that just didn't make it. Bo Ellis, you know, he won a championship with Marquette, you know, and back in, what was that, 77? Yeah. So, you know, we had a lot of people that from the city of Chicago that made it, and we had a bunch of players that was better than us that didn't make it, that taught us how to play. And we looked at them and we saw the mistakes that they made, and we didn't want to make the same mistakes that they made.
Cassie Russell,
you know, Terry Cummins, you know, it's just a lot of players out there that we could just keep. We could just keep going.
D. Rose.
Dwayne Wade.
But, you know, I'm going to tell you this. I think what really put us, you know, besides Quinn Buckner, I think one of the guys that really put Chicago basketball on the map and made it where we go to college and we can excel and everybody looked at and how he did it was Isaiah Thomas.
It's a beautiful player. I mean, that list is outrageous. Mo Cheeks, still an assistant
Ricky
in the league.
Ricky Green. Mm-hmm.
Benji,
you know, J.J. Anderson. You know, we just
– Doc Rivers.
We just – Michael Finley and a trio was out there with Vizel East.
Sherrell Ford
and Donnie Boyce. You know, those guys. You know, it just you know, Efren Winters, Teddy Grubbs. You know, we got a plethora of people out there that played and did something. You know, Nick Anderson, you know, Byron Irvin and the Irvin family. You know, and what they have done for the city of Chicago
100%.
with their AAU and just their basketball guru, and everybody know him, Antoine Walker. You know, it keeps
Kendall
going.
Kendall Gill.
It just keeps going
it's
on.
Crazy.
As we speak, and we just naming names.
How about it? Hey,
let's remember some guys.
But yeah, that's like kind of the fun part when you start talking about ball. Like, you start talking about the guys that you love to watch, and you add little things of this person's game to your game to make it your own. So who were the guys that you were like, man, because you were one of those guys for me. That was like, my brother is a lot taller than me. He's 5 years older than me. So I was like, I got to figure out ways to get to the bucket. So the UTEP two-step was one of the ways that I would do it. Who were the people that you stole from, Tim? Who'd you steal from to help make your game what it is?
Always stole from Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas was my basketball idol. When I went to go watch him in seventh grade, and I was like, wow.
Was he at St. Joe's at the time?
Yes, he was at St. Joe's. He was playing at the amphitheater. And
was the handle? The handle.
The handles and how he orchestrated his team, how he controlled the game, how he gave his team confidence to go out there to win, even though they didn't have enough. But they with him, they knew that they could beat anybody if they do their job. And that's what they did. And that's why I patented my game after him. I used to watch him at Indiana and Detroit Pistons whenever I could. And, you know, I just learned from Ricky Green, Carl Nix, Mo Cheeks, some other guys that used to play in the parks. I used to take away from them what they used to do and how they used to do it. So it's a guy, we call him Alibaba. You know, and that was Darren Brittman out of CVS. I mean, he'd pick you up full court, no matter where you was at, on the playgrounds, at a Robichaud Park, anywhere. He just picked you up full court. When he walked in the gym, you knew that you was going to get a great, great, great workout. And if you didn't perform to your best, then you was going to get embarrassed.
Who do you watch in the league today and respect to the point of knowing, all right, that guy could have played in my era. That guy could have played in any era. I mean, there's probably, and you don't have to name your son. We'll get to that in a second here. But who do you watch and you're like, man, that dude can just flat out ball?
Of course, LeBron James. Of course, Derrick Rose. Of course, you know, Dwayne Wade. When I watched him, of course. Right now, KD. Talking about. Who else is it? Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. Kyrie's handle is as good as anybody's. Ridiculous. Right?
Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler. You know, he's a straight up dog. I love how he plays. The Joker. You know how he plays. He would have excelled down low in that era. You know, just getting the ball down low and taking his time and just doing what he does. He would have excelled in that era.
He never seems rushed.
No, he takes his time. He does what he knows he can do. And you know, like Chris Mullin, I tell people this: Chris Mullin was slow. All right, and we play fast. And like Jokic, when he play his game, he's slow. And as we playing, you used to playing against people that's fast, and when you playing against somebody that's slow, it takes away from your timing because he's slow. It's everything is fast twitch with us. With them two, it was slow twitch with them. Hmm. So they was always ahead of you, but you thought you was ahead of them. And that's why they was able to get off their shot. That's why you was always a step late or jump slow. And that's why they was able to excel.
Wow, that's cool. So Run TMC, when it's you and Mitch Richmond and Chris Mullin.
Nobody could have beat us. Nobody.
I mean, that it was glorious. Absolutely glorious to watch. And Mullin, I thought, like, he'd be slow, but then he'd have just a little bit of speed, like a little burst every once in a while, because you're used to him being slow. You're thinking about it. But why were you guys as good as you were? And were you ahead of your time, you think, with the way
of course, no question we was ahead of our time. You know, and Don Nelson, he the way the game is played today, that's what he envisioned back then. And a lot of people didn't receive the concept then, but now everybody's like, oh yeah, we love playing this way. When we was playing against teams, they coached teams, other coaches would be like, yo, we're gonna slow it down, we're not gonna play their way, and then they come out there and play the same way we do, and it's like, oh man, we love this, even though we losing, but we having so much fun. You know, we gonna get back in the back, and our coach is gonna curse us out, and you know, because we supposed to have slowed the ball down, but we had fun playing this way. We passing the ball, moving, we playing just like you. I said, yeah, that's what Nelly brought to the game, and
that's sneaky. That's sneaky. Yeah. You get them with the fun, and yes, they can't help themselves, yes, and then you beat them.
Yes.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Tim, we're always looking for Michael Jordan stories, and we know that during the retirement, that Michael Jordan would sometimes pop up with the Golden State folks and stuff. So what was that like when you guys were had already you had been competing against him, and then it was like, oh, there's Black Jesus right there. What's he doing here?
Well, you know, he came. He was talking to B.J. Armstrong, and Rod Higgins was our assistant coach, and Rod Higgins and him are really, really great friends. And he said, with Rick Adam in mind, he come to practice and practicing. And they asked him, and next thing you know, he was at practice, and he said, I want you know who he asked B.J. said he asked B.J., you know, who's the best, you know, one of the best two guards in the league right now. He's like, Sprewell. He's like, okay, well, I want to come in and see what, you know, Sprewell got. Yeah, he took over the whole practice. He took it from beginning to end. He took over the whole practice. He got, you know, like he got the guys off the bench, and he played with them, and he made them look like first team All-NBA guys. They was passing and cutting. They was moving without the ball. They knew what to do. I'm like, well, how come y'all don't do that when we playing? And they like, well, you know, the coach don't want us to do that. I was like, the coach don't have nothing to do with us out here on the court. All right. So y'all, Michael just going to come in and y'all game going to go to a whole nother level. We should be playing like this all the time. You know, and it was like, you right. And then we went out there and we started playing. We started winning games. But, it, you know, it was kind of too late. The continuity wasn't where it was supposed to be at. And we was far back in the playoff standing. But, you know, when somebody like that, his caliber come in and he just takes over, his charisma, his energy, his savviness, his killer instinct. You know, and we saw this Latrell. He picked up on what Latrell liked to do, and he took away all his what he likes to do, and he went out there and he Michael Jordan, like he never left, basically.
Wow. So even in a gym full of NBA ballers, you could feel the difference with that guy.
Well, after him not playing basketball for a year and a half. Yes.
Yeah, you could just see that difference.
Yes.
Why couldn't we heard a little bit of it in the open there that some of these guys couldn't play in your era? Because that's the debate is like, oh, well, you guys couldn't play in this era. Why couldn't some of these guys play in your era?
I don't think they have the mindset to play in that particular era because of the physicality. You know, it was physical back then. You know, you had Rick Mahorn, you had Bill Laimbeer, you had Cartwright, Stacey King. You had people back there like Tree Rollins. You come up in there and you thinking you tough. You know, Charles Oakley and those guys, you thinking you tough. You know, they going to put you on your butt. And you got to come from that type of era, playing in that type of era to understand how to play and not get hurt or give a hit first and then take the grunt of their hit. And I don't think a lot of these, you know, players today can do that, you know, and that's why I went on a podcast and I was talking to, you know, Brandon Jennings. I was like, man, you kind of light. you think you could play, but when you go up against these big fellas that's weighing, about 250, 230, and they putting all they girth on you and everything. And then another thing, Karl Malone, you know, you run through the lane. A lot of people didn't know. When we ran through the lane, we didn't run through the lane like oh, okay, yeah. Now, we ran through the lane like, all right, I got to cover up my stomach. I got to cover up my ribs because they hitting you like hard. They checking you hard coming through that lane. Now they can't do it. But, yeah, you could get stood up in the lane and be like, oh, sup. Yeah, I might have.
And we all know what John Stockton was doing back then.
Well, you know what? A lot of people say John Stockton was dirty. He wasn't dirty. He was one of the greatest basketball point guards in the NBA. And you had to study John. You had to study John. You had to understand what he does and how he does it. And he kept the same demeanor each and every night. And he gave his team a chance to win. He was a steady point guard. That's why he's in the Hall of Fame first ballot. And, when they say he was dirty, no, he wasn't dirty. Everybody was dirty back then.
This is gold with Tim Hardaway here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. I got to ask you, because we saw Mr. Halliburton in the NBA playoffs kind of overstep a little bit. What is the proper etiquette and decorum for an NBA dad like yourself at a ball game as you watch Tim Hardaway Jr. is going to be in Denver this year? What's the right way to represent?
What do you mean? First of all, his dad should not have never went on the court. You know, that's the first thing. You got to understand, he got caught up in the moment. He got a little bit excited, and I understand that. But you got as a dad, you know, you got to know your boundaries. And you got to understand, this is not you. This is your son. You know, my son, you know, he out there, he playing well, and he winning games and this and that. I'm not going to run out on the court. I stay right there on the sideline, give everybody on the sideline high fives and stuff like that. And I'm real cool, you know. But my thing with Halliburton, and you know, my prayers go out with him. Hope he have a great 100% recovery and everything. I just said, you know, a lot of people come up to me, what's your beef with Halliburton? I said, if y'all listen to the interview, don't listen to the little bits and pieces that I said and they put it on there. Listen to the whole interview. I said, I don't like him talking smack while he's winning. All right. Like me, if I'm losing, I'm still talking smack. I'm still saying, yeah, we're going to see y'all next game. We're going to give y'all some, you know, act right the next game. And when I get off, running off the court or whatever, they're going to have to. Yeah, we lost. So what? I'm still talking smack, you know. But when you winning, just don't talk smack, because that's what guys didn't like about him. That's what he's a darn good basketball player. All right. He is an all-star. Not a superstar yet. He's become almost a superstar, but he is definitely an all-star. And I was a bet man. If whoever betted on him before he went down, I think he was going to have an epic game seven. I think it was going to be epic. We talking about 35 and 20 assists and was going to be right there to have his team win at the end. But didn't happen that way, and I feel sorry for him, because he put in that time and he was ready to go, and you could see it. You could see it in his eyes. You could see it in his play in game seven. So, when I said that, I think he calmed down a little bit and he understood what I was saying, and he stopped doing that. And he was just playing his game and letting his game play, which he did. You know, you're always supposed to get up for a game. And he did the right thing. I think he did the right thing by putting up a choke sign when he thought he made that game winning, against New York. I mean, that was a hell of a shot. You know, and he did it against Cleveland. That was a hell of a shot. You know, and then against OKC, that was a hell of a shot. So, you know, he's putting in his mark. But at that particular time, yeah, you supposed to yeah, and give it, you know, and stick it to him. But, you know, I'm just saying, when you're losing, you know,
keep the same energy.
Keep the same energy. That's what I say. And I think that's what he was doing the whole playoffs.
So, look, I'm so happy that you're here and that you guys made it through. It seems like Chicago ballers, they really care about Chicago. And I think this is what's going on tomorrow at Diet. This is another person who loves this city kind of putting on for it. So why is it important for you, specifically you, Tim, to make sure that you are a part of an organization like this?
I'm always back here. I'm always in Chicago. I'm always giving up my time for youth. I'm always giving up my time to go talk to youth. To make them understand not only about basketball, about life in general. You know, go to school, get your education, because you got to have something to fall back on. Be a good person. You know, if you don't want to do something, don't do it. You know, it's a lot of times I ran away from gangs and I walk down this and I see three or four guys. I went around the corner, down the alley or something like that to get away from gangs. You just got to do what you got to do to make it. And I tell kids today, don't be ashamed of yourself. Always have confidence. Go out there and walk confident. Go out there and play confident. Go to class and be confident about your schoolwork. All right, go in there and learn. Understand what the teacher is teaching you. If you got questions, ask questions. All right. Everybody's not perfect. Everybody's not perfect. And that's what people have taught me, you know, and when I was growing up. I listened to stories after stories after stories, and it helped me out in my life, not my career, in my life. And if you just got to listen. I tell kids, be quiet and just listen to what somebody's telling you, because that will help you down the line in a situation that you may need. And a lot of kids, you know, we had a camp way back in the 90s, and kids, grown women and men come up to me and say, "Hey, Tim, thank you for having that camp, man. You know, that helped me out in my life. You know, I'm not a pro basketball player. I'm not a pro sports person. But you know what? I'm doing well enough for my family right now that I'm happy that I came to your camp, because you taught me a lot." And that's what this is about, the support group and what we're doing at Diet. We want people to come and understand what we're doing, our programs, the type of programs we got to help people out, kids, parents, to help them out to make it in this world. I know a lot of people are struggling. A lot of people are struggling. But if you come to our summer get-together tomorrow from 10 to 2 at Diet, you will understand what the support group is doing and how we are doing it, and you will feel comfortable with us coming to your aid, and you'll feel comfortable with us helping you out in your life.
I know that there's truth to this, and you want to know how I know, Speaks?
Tell me.
So I walk in, and I go to the security desk, and I'm letting them know. I was like, "Hey, Tim Hardaway is going to be here," just like letting people know. And one of the security guards was like, "I was at his camp. I love Tim Hardaway. Like, his camp kept me out of trouble."
There you go.
How crazy is that? Right?
It's amazing. It's like the guy that you talked about. What was his name? Who opened the center?
Dexter.
Every morning at 6 o'clock.
Yes.
That's you're paying his spirit forward, man.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
We just got it. You know, we got to keep it going, because a lot of stuff is getting cut. Back then, a lot of stuff was cut in the 80s, 70s. That was getting cut. And if we didn't have people to open up them doors and say, "Forget it, I'm just going to take my time out, because I know these kids need me, and they need me to keep them off the street." And we listened to what they were saying. If it wasn't for them, a lot of us wouldn't be in the predicament we in today, and I wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame today. So that's why I always credit the city of Chicago, because without them, I wouldn't be a Hall of Famer today.
Tomorrow, over at Diet High School from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m., the support group launch of Safe Summer and the Safe Summer campaign is going to be a community event. If you're down there, if you're not even down on the south side, if you're up north and you want to come south, you should, and you should come to this event tomorrow at Diet High School, 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. The Hall of Famer, Tim Hardaway Sr., thank you so much.
And Benny Henry.
I see. Benny, tell people why they should come out.
Well, I'm just glad now, because I'm sitting here. I do a lot of the work. Tim, I'm just happy to see Tim here in town. We're able to sit together and go over these things. I'm the young man that be putting in the work as far as keeping these communities. The thing about this is that we are trying to, Tim is 100% correct. So what we're moving to is that to keep these programs going, we have to do different kind of campaigns. Tim is correct. We have all kind of programs. We have a Leadership Peace Initiative. And under those Leadership Peace Initiative, we have different kind of programs like wellness, parent programs, and sports programs. But in order to do that, everybody know the climate that's going on out here. We get restricted dollars from the state of Illinois, but it's time for us to start going after unrestricted dollars to where we can continue with these programs. This is what this is all about. We have a nice campaign we're going to do. We're launching it because we finally got Tim time to come in town. So this is a big launch of us doing programs where we can raise more money to be able to do more programs. The more money that we raise, the more programs we can do. So that's why I want to make sure people understand this is a free program that you're coming to tomorrow. We're giving away things. We're giving away beds. We're giving away blankets. We're giving away furniture, all that kind of stuff to individuals who come to this event tomorrow. But you're coming because we want you to understand the work that we're doing in the community, number one. And number two, understand our campaign that we're going to do in the future for raising money to go along with our student dollars to do more programs. That's what this thing is all about.
Very cool. The supportgroup.org is how you can find out some more information on everything that they do.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. We truly appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again.
Yes, you will, and we appreciate you having us up here, and we'd love to come back again and keep this continued dialogue and keep you know, giving a message out there and helping people come in and get help.
Done deal.
Sounds like a plan.
Done deal. Yeah,
thanks, Tim.
We need to take a break. Back after this on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
You guys are friends of the program, man. I can never turn y'all down.
I know that's right. That's Stacey King.
The friends of the program are my friends, and they are friends for life.
Afternoons on The Score.
That's a hoops legend that we just got a chance to talk to in there. So much fun to have Tim Hardaway here and all the good work he's doing and paying it forward like people took care of him. Easy to get lost in the basketball conversation part of it too, Lawrence.
I could sit here with you and Tim and just keep naming names.
For sure.
Fun is that?
I hope that listeners heard those names, and maybe there's some people out there like, I didn't realize that. That's from Chicago too? Oh my God. Because I always think of that All-Star game that was here in Chicago when Common was, you know, the master of ceremonies, and it was celebrating all things Chicago basketball, and the Bulls just absolutely sucked. Like, the Bulls were not a part of the joy and wonder of Chicago basketball.
No, what they were a part of was earlier that week, people being on TV behind Stephen A. Smith saying, fire Garpax.
Yes.
And it's funny, like, you know,
time is a flat circle.
And here we are, and we had a Chicago basketball legend in here. We didn't ask one question about the Bulls,
because they're
not in a space where they're very relevant. But the thing that I always think is fascinating is Chicago basketball culture. And that's what you're talking about, Speak.
Yes, it's much bigger than that.
And that's what got celebrated that weekend. That was right before COVID.
Yep.
It was right before, and it was amazing. Like, just all the different events that were going on in the city. And I was over, where were we? St. Sabina. I was at St. Sabina, and Bill Russell walked in.
What? That's a jaw dropper.
And so, you know,
a room stopper.
That's exactly what happened.
Of course.
Like,
that's
everyone,
amazing.
And you know, young people or whatever, like, maybe they don't know. And it was like, he walked in the room and everyone was just like, oh.
Oh, okay. Things just got a little serious.
Oh, royalty just walked in.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And he sat down and he watched the tournament that was going on. It's a dope moment, man.
That's amazing.
So to have some of that stuff and how important it is to people, like, people will fight you about who is the best player from Chicago. And you can have a conversation too about, are we talking city limits or are we going to include Dwayne Wade?
I know.
Buckner.
I know.
Like, we can do all that stuff. But the argument that ended up happening, I threw out Anthony Davis. And I know that, like, from, if I say it, you're like, no, it's not Anthony Davis. But then you look at his career, he's 24-11.
Right.
For a career with a title and a whole bunch of All-Stars.
Yeah, and a NCAA championship in his 1 year.
Yeah. Right?
Did they win it all when he was a freshman?
At Kentucky?
I think so.
I believe they did.
I think so.
So anyway, it was like super dope to have Tim Hardaway in here and talk Chicago ball. Like, it's really, really fun.
So maybe Tim's going to go to the White Sox and the Cubs game tomorrow night. Lawrence kind of hooked that up during the break.
I feel like Tim should throw out the first pitch tomorrow.
Keep working on that.
I'm working on that. They can get a Hardaway jersey printed up because trust me, Brooks was playing at Notre Dame when Tim was at Utah.
Oh, wow. There you go. Well, we got Cubs Sox starting there tonight, and I had not heard this until the morning. Apparently, you guys and Tanny have been sitting on this.
For a minute.
Woo! This is the vibrant superstar on the north side. Just kind of being honest, but it is some smack. I guess it's just real talk about the south side and what he has experienced there. You'll hear it next on Spiegel and Holmes on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
Here's the payoff. This bat is launched to right field. Season for Pete Crow Armstrong, who looks to be putting together an all-star type season for the Cubs.
PCA with a home run in the Cubs-Sox game. Last time they play again starting tonight. This is the Spiegel and Holmes show. Lots of bear stuff at the top of the hour. But Lawrence, you knew this tape existed. I did not know this tape existed.
Yeah, you were out during All-Star break, and we were trying to figure out when Jason Leisure was in here on whether or not we were going to play it. And we just, for some reason, it just kind of kept getting moved, and Tanny would keep bringing it back up and be like, we have this PCA White Sox tape here if you want to use it.
Mm.
So now that you're here and now the game is a couple hours away from being played, you can hear the game here on the Score, by the way. We thought that we would share it with you. And this is PCA talking about the experience of dealing with the White Sox and White Sox fans.
In all your travels around the big leagues, in what road stadium do you get the quote-unquote treatment?
Chicago is probably the nastiest, though, in terms of, like...
Southside.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, they were throwing... they were throwing stuff on the field. I got some interesting gestures from fans that had children with them, so I just... I wasn't such a fan of the Southside, but I guess L.A., too, is pretty funny, but they're not very good at talking smack. I'd say, like, Philly... Boston were probably like the two most lively, creative crap talkers.
Do you like that or do you tune it out?
There are certain days where I'm like willing to you know, give it a chance and like kind of play around back, but I try and just keep it in front of me, keep it about the pitches being thrown. But again, like there's sometimes where that kind of locks me in and I really enjoy that.
Interesting gestures with their kids next to them. What kind of gestures you think that would be?
You know what type of gestures they are.
Like guys just doing like the holding signal from a football game. Fun. That'd be interesting.
I think maybe they're
traveling.
There's the traveling.
Yeah, it'd be fun. How about like round the base? Like, oh, telling me to round the base.
I would imagine that there's like, if maybe you were perhaps holding, I don't know, a megaphone. I bet that gesture happens quite a bit over there.
Maybe they're just trying to play charades, maybe, you know, something like that.
Yeah, with a couple of, like, it's two words, but you only need one thing to signify it.
Peace sign. Thumbs up, maybe.
I don't think that's what
Look, here goes this media again running with it, like, but people don't talk about how it was mime night on the South Side the last time they played there. So, you know, that's what they were supposed to do gestures,
they're climbing a wall, pretending to climb a wall. That makes all the sense in the world. So, look, South Side fans giving it to Pete out there while he's out there in center field. Well, he's got the love affair with the Wrigley fans, so I'm sure there's some Cub fans out there to give them the love, and that's why the flip side happens.
So you just raise a really interesting point, Speaks, that I didn't even think about. Depending on when White Sox fans got their tickets, did some of them go, you know, it's not in me this year to go see Cubs versus White Sox? How many people sold their tickets to Cubs fans thinking, hey, we still ain't got it yet over here. They're doing all right over there. I can charge a little bit of money because maybe some Cubs fans couldn't get into Wrigley,
sure,
but they can get in over at 35th and Shields.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a little bit, maybe there's enough of a friendly contingent for PCA that he's not expecting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the fan mix is. And you know me, man, I love the meatball activity, and I love the edge that sometimes can come to this series. And we had a little bit last time at Wrigley. We had,
yes,
when Brad Keller threw inside and hit Miguel Vargas, and there was a misunderstanding there. And I mean,
even Tanny and I got mad.
Yeah, and you did.
Because we remember.
Bad
the
killer.
South remembers.
Yeah, but I covered that story breathlessly, like nobody else. Had both of those.
Yeah, sadly, Brad Keller's just more and more likable by the day.
I know. Right.
Every time I hear from him, I would love a guy pitching like that on my team.
I know.
Yeah, he's out here offering to like broker peace and go eat meals together and
absolutely,
like learn about Cuban cuisine and all of this
totally
stuff.
And Miguel Vargas is an absolute delight of a human. So my money is still on PCA to be involved in a small scrap. Some kind of little scrap. And I think I know who might be on the White Sox side. That'd be the Palatine Pounder himself. He did not play when the series was at Wrigley, but you got to figure Mike Tauchman's got family there at the game tonight. Maybe there's some feistiness out there in the stands. I don't know how they interact since they're both outfielders.
Well, JD, I think you nicknamed him the Palatine Pounder.
Yeah, why not?
Can I run something? Run something past the rest of the show that I find peculiar.
Sure.
I am looking at the White Sox lineup.
That's what I was just going for myself.
And I do not see Luis Robert in it against the lefty.
That's weird.
After a day off.
That's weird.
So does that mean that he's getting moved, or does it mean that he's hurt again?
John Heyman tweeted today that the Mets are among the teams interested in Luis Robert. Yeah, that's odd that after an off day, he wouldn't be there in Seno.
Against the lefty.
Adductor soreness for Luis Robert.
See, there it is. The Lord taketh, giveth, and the Lord taketh away.
He played well enough that a scout told Alex Kuhn, I saw everything I needed in 10 minutes. Multiple teams have been lining up to possibly give you a scratch-off ticket for Luis Robert. And now his
We don't know if it's, true. You know, we don't know if that, maybe they are trading him, you know? Like, what can they say, you know?
They shouldn't say abductor soreness.
They definitely shouldn't say that.
I wouldn't say that. Where is the abductor?
Well, if there's a deal on the table, what could they say? Just a night off for rest, you know, like we'd hammer them for that, you know.
See, I got a little controversy here because Jesse Rogers says groin, Scott Merkin says adductor.
Yeah, they can't figure out which one it is. And we have Will Venable tape. Maybe we'll hear some of it later. I wasn't exactly rushing to hear what Will Venable had to say ahead of this matchup tonight, but yeah, maybe there's more information inside of that.
The abductor. Who is he in the Marvel universe? The abductor.
I think he's in Liam Neeson movies. That's what he does. Yeah, but they're both right. Like, it's basically the same place.
Chicago is probably the nastiest, though, in terms of, like...
South Side.
Yeah, obviously.
Obviously, Zach.
He's saying that the North Side, those are his people, so they're not nasty to him.
Obviously.
He's not besmirching your entire side.
I got to say, a lot of Sox fans I know reached out, and they did not like the way he was thumping his chest at Wrigley. So, like, I think it might be worse for him this time around.
I'm sure.
But I hope
be.
They get him out, you know? get him out first and foremost.
Can we just also say that there are limits. Like, don't go crazy with saying stuff like maybe you did with Ketel Marte. How about you keep it Gucci, all right? Like, you can say stuff, but be creative and don't be a jerk.
It's important to note, and I think you noted this, but I'm going to note it again. The adductor is basically the groin.
That's what I just said.
I know. I wanted to educate. I think it's...
Yeah, thank you for letting me know that. My bad.
You're right. And, you know, I like to repeat
Well, you were
things.
Saying abductor.
I was.
With a B, so...
I know, I was.
That's probably not a thing, but I got confused.
Good call. You're right to hit that back at me. Thank you, Alex.
Another report saying that he was abducted before the game tonight.
That's why I probably...
And that a train conductor was also there, I believe, was another report.
Yep. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back on this here show, we have got to talk a little bit of Bears. And the reason why is that someone that it's fair to say that I don't think either one of us was like, that's a guy that we need to hear a lot more from. There's a guy that maybe we do need to hear a lot more from.
Depends what kind of voice he's going to have.
Yeah, on the Bears coaching staff. So we will go through that next here on The Score.